It's Tuesday, 14th of January. It's time to get your grin on with a Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Franjaff.
Hey.
We got more to talk about than we did last week, because the gaming news machine doesn't stop for anyone except for, Christmas and E3 and, well, just before E3. Anyway, first we'll do what we always do. What's everyone been playing? Nikki.
Oh, gosh. Right. I have to try and remember. Azura Lane. When is it not going to be Azura Lane? I tried to get all of the girls during the New Year event, but unfortunately failed, which was annoying because they were Oni girls, which is demon girls, and they're my favorite. So I was a little bit bummed out by that, but it's fine. I also picked up, so a little bit of backstory actually, I picked up Max Payne 3 in the Steam sale. Now, Max Payne 3 came out in 2012 or 2013, and I have never played it, but every Steam sale it goes down to a fiver, and I'm like, I should buy Max Payne 3. I never had or have. So I finally did. It's a really interesting title, especially given the age of it. Visually, it still holds up. Mechanically, it's Max Payne. It's a fun little romp, but it's interesting. Like, you can see that Rockstar were trying a lot of things with it. I know GTA 5 came out the year after, so part of me wonders if maybe they were testing stuff out, but I don't think they were because of the fact there was only a year between them. But so far, enjoying it. I'm at the part where he shaved his head now, so yep, he goes bald. It's a bit weird.
Spoilers
on the box.
Oh
yeah, it's because this one it's really weird, because Max Payne 1 and 2 was set in like New York. Max Payne 3 is set in Brazil, so that's a thing. But yep, nothing beats slow-mo jumping, you know, into a room and headshotting 7 guys. It's a lot of fun. On top of that, some Destiny 2. Didn't get to finish the Christmas event, The Dawning. I didn't have a PC with me for Christmas, so was unable to play it. So I didn't get enough time to farm all the stuff that would have, well, might have meant I actually had everything. But, yeah, you know, Destiny 2 always continuing. I swear I played something else recently, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was.
Ape Out?
Yes, Ape Out. Ah, yeah. Ape Out was one of the games that was given away over Epic Games, like 13 days of Christmas. I wanted something that I could play that would only take like 2 minutes to download, and that was Ape Out. It's fun. You're an ape, and you break out, and you kill people. I don't really have much else to add. It's just, you just run from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, and you can take, I think, 2 hits from the normal guys with guns, and then like the bigger guys just kill you in one. And it's if you die, you have to restart that floor. So you just keep doing runs. Kind of feels a bit Hotline Miami-ish in that regards, but it's not. You're just an ape. But it is pretty funny, because if you grab guards, they always fire one shot. So you can grab them, shoot their friend, and then lob them out of a window, and it's just very satisfying. If you picked up any of the games, actually, during the Epic Store giveaway, I highly recommend checking out quite a few of them, because some of them are really, really good titles. So I think my Epic Store library is now like 20 titles, and I've not even purchased any of them. They've just been the games they've given away for free.
I'd just like to point out that over throughout 2019, Epic gave away about 70 games.
Nice.
70.
So yeah, that's been it. For the benefit of the fact that I played it over Christmas, and I haven't talked about it yet, I finished Pokemon Sword. It's the first Pokemon game I've finished since Emerald on the GBA. I am a filthy casual. And it was hilarious, because when I finished it, and, you know, I say finish in the sense that I became the champion, I saw the game's credits. To me, when you see the credits of a game, you've beaten it. I don't care about the Pokedex. But it was really funny, because I mentioned it. I was like, oh yeah, I finished it. Like, oh, okay, how many Pokemon did you catch? I was like, oh, let me check. 25. And everyone just looked disgusted at me. I was like, what? They're like, you finished Pokemon and only caught 25. And I was like, yeah, I just caught the ones I needed, and people walked away.
That's exactly my approach to Pokemon as well. I will only catch the Pokemon that I feel like I'm going to use.
Yeah, I kind of like... The thing was as well, is I had this in one of the other ones, but I can't remember exactly which one, but I went with the Fire Starter Pokemon, Twisted Fire Starter. Sorry, every time. And I found, because the way I play Pokemon games is that I'll just fight every trainer, fight every random encounter I run into, and then just see how I get on. And I only really hit like one of the gyms where I was like, oh, I need to go train, or oh, I need to go catch another Pokemon. I was just going like, oh, I'll catch this Pokemon. It seems kind of cool. Oh, okay, it's a type that'll be useful. Okay, cool. And because there's XP share, I'm just using my starter Pokemon. Everyone else is leveling up. And then I ended up just kind of being a bit overpowered for a lot of them.
Yeah, this has been a problem for me since X and Y, which was two generations ago, where the XP share got like a big buff. And then because of that, the entire games became like easier.
Yeah, it's funny as well. But the Pokemon games have this habit of letting you catch some form of legendary before you face the Elite Four or the final. And they keep that up in Sword. I won't spoil because there's actually a proper story in Sword and Shield. But that Pokemon that I caught right before the final match, I was just like, can I take it with me? Oh, I can. Oh, it's OP as fuck. And then I became the champion.
Yeah, I stopped using legendary Pokemon for that reason, because you can just plow through the entire Elite Four just with that.
And again, filthy casual that I am.
Did you do that?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
My approach to Pokemon's slightly different. I'll catch everything I come across, but generally just use like six,
which is fair. But yes, that's basically everything I've played recently.
Okay, friend Jeff, what about you?
Okay, so I've played quite a few games, so I'm going to try and get through them quickly. Dragon Ball FighterZ talked about a bit last week, and I've been getting into that a bit more. Last week I'd only played it for a couple of hours, so I was still sort of learning the way the game was meant to be played, but now I'm starting to get into it and figure out what characters I'm liking and how to combo, and I'm enjoying it a lot. It's really good. And I finished Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which, to speak to my thoughts on the game, I forgot I'd even played and finished it until I looked over my notes again. So it didn't leave much of an impression on me. It was fine. It was very glitchy, but if it wasn't so glitchy, it would have been like a pretty good game. But it's okay. It's fine. And I've been playing Super Mario Maker 2, and I played through the quote-unquote story mode, which was fun. And I'm just sort of messing around with online courses, and I'm going to try and this week start on some of my own courses, because I don't usually build stuff in games. I'm not good at building stuff in games, so I want to give it a proper go-around.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Minecraft I could never get into for that reason.
It's a square. No, it's a house.
Yeah, Minecraft, I just would, like, I don't know, build worlds with friends and then end up burning stuff down just because I was bored and didn't know what I was doing. But anyway, I also played three Game Pass titles. I downloaded Lonely Mountains Downhill and Remnant from the Ashes. Played them both for like an hour each, didn't like either of them at all. And I played through My Friend Pedro, which I liked quite a bit. I thought the second half of the game was weaker than the first half, which was a bit of a shame, but it's a cool sort of stylish 2D shooter where you kind of build up points from doing cool tricks and stuff and chaining together kills in a certain amount of time. Kind of like in a Tony Hawk game in a way, where, you know, got like a star move from there from chaining together combo tricks and stuff. So it's cool to have that application on what's essentially a shooter.
But, Didn't you talk down about the game during the Game of the Year podcast?
I just said during the podcast that I'd heard it had wonky controls. That was where I was
going. Yes. And it does.
Yeah, it does kind of have wonky controls. So I feel confident in what I said about that. I thought it was a good game. I enjoyed playing through it. But yeah, that's what I played through this week.
Okay, myself, as Elaine, of course, the game gave away a promise ring on Promise Day. So I made illustrious my bride, well, one of my brides, and speaking of, for Christmas my wife got me a model of illustrious, and she got big cans and a tea set. That's not a euphemism. I went back to Batman Arkham City. I completed the main game in November and got frustrated with the Harley Quinn's Revenge DLC because Robin's absolutely useless. I managed to power through it. The DLC is frustratingly hard, and I don't understand why. I did not enjoy it, but that's finally off of my Xbox. I've of course been playing through Dauntless still. Not every day like I have been doing, because I've got all the Hunt Pass and that resets in a couple of weeks. So I'll be obviously talking more about it in a couple of weeks. The Temtem alpha finished. That I'm looking forward to that coming out in early access on the 21st. I'm backed on Kickstarter, so don't think I'll be writing another preview quite so early, because the preview I've just written is going to go up on the site in a couple of days. The last game that I played it yesterday. It's a demo of a game. The release date for the game has not been revealed yet. It's Wanking Simulator, and it's awful, guys. It's like if Goat Simulator was trying to offend everyone and remove all of the fun from it, because it's from the start, it's anti-religion, anti-gay. Some of the enemies are big burly men in dresses, which I can only assume are supposed to be insulting to trans people. The whole feel of the game, you can unlock skins, and I would guarantee that one of the skins is going to be the Nazi flag or Confederate flag or something like that. It's glitchy, because this sort of game has to be glitchy, but it's also awful. You go around punching / kicking everyone. You can pick up shovels and hit them with those. You can buy grenades, and of course you can ejaculate on everyone to knock people over. And yeah, it's a funny idea, but the execution is lacking so many areas.
It's about as distasteful as you could expect a game called Wanking Simulator to be.
It's somehow more distasteful than you would expect it to be. That's all I played, because didn't want to play anything else after that game ruined me for other games. So let's get into our news. Nikki, I probably should let you go last, because then we could have segued nicely from your play of Pokemon Sword to the recent Pokemon Direct, which dropped the other day. Some big news, big plans for DLC, it turns out. Pokemon Sword and Shield are getting an expansion pass. Of course, if you bought Pokemon Sword, you have to buy the expansion pass for Pokemon Sword. Pokemon Shield, you have to buy the expansion pass for Pokemon Shield. But they both come with two bits of DLC. The Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra. So you finish off your Sword and Shield with the Crown and Armor. But yeah, it's about £30, I believe.
Yeah, or 26 to be exact.
$26.99, yeah. Scroll down on the story on GameGrid.com. They're adding in new people, new areas, and some Pokemon that didn't make the cut into the main game. They also announced that they are remaking Pokemon Mystery Dungeon with Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX. They were very cagey with using the term remaster. They used resurrection at one point, but yeah, it's definitely a remaster.
That's the highlight for me from all this. The only Mystery Dungeon I played was Blue Rescue Team, which is what this game is based on, Red Rescue Team. And yeah, I really enjoyed it when I was younger, so I'm excited to jump back into it and try it out again.
I downloaded the demo to give it a whirl. I remember trying it out on the Game Boy Advance, or whatever platform it came on.
It was on both the Game Boy and DS. The Red Rescue Team was Game Boy, and then Blue was DS.
Right. So I did try it on the Game Boy, but I didn't get more than like 15 minutes into it, so I don't remember anything. The rescue team is coming in March, and the two different parts of the expansion pass for Sword and Shield is coming November.
I think one's coming summertime, and then the other later, something like that.
June and fall.
Yeah, it's. I think it'll be interesting. It looks good. I know a lot of people But actually, okay, before I even say anything, like, it's worth bearing in mind, like, they even said this in the direct, that traditionally what they've done is they've done two versions of a Pokemon game, and then, like, a year later, they've brought out a third version, and you have to start again, and all this crap, and blah, blah, blah. And it's a full-price game. And what they said this time is, we want to do it differently, so we're doing two expansions that bring new content and new Pokemon and systems, etc. And then you can take your team with you. You don't have to start from the very beginning again. This is like proper end game. And it's half the price. So to me, that's kind of like a, ooh, cool. And yeah, two DLCs that will bring two new locations, new challenges. And with them, I think they're adding about 200 Pokemon per expansion from the National Pokedex, basically. But you don't have to get the expansion to get those Pokemon. There has been so much freaking controversy, and by which I mean basically people can't actually listen to what's being said to them, and they've just decided to go to Twitter and just stir shit for no reason. Yes, Pokemon fandom, come on. But like, yeah, people basically took it as you have to have these expansions to get these Pokemon. You don't. On the same day that they released, they were releasing an update so that you can still have those Pokemon. It just means that you'll have to trade with someone who has the expansion. They will only be catchable in those regions, but it doesn't mean you can't have them. So if your mate buys it, you can just trade them from there. And you have to buy one expansion pass per version of the game. So it's, if you've got Sword and you buy the Sword expansion pass, you get the two Isles, Island of Armor and Crown, for Pokemon Sword. If you then want to have it on Shield, you need to buy the same one again. So it's not like you're not paying £26 per island per version. You're paying £26 for two DLCs per version. Slightly confusing.
So they're bringing this out instead of a third full price game, but if you've already bought the other two games, you still need to pay full price to have access to both DLCs on both games.
Yeah, but if you're, with all due respect, if you've got the disposable income to buy both Pokemon Sword and Shield, I'm pretty sure you're going to have disposable income to buy the expansion pass for both of those, considering that both of those together is still cheaper than one version of Pokemon. It's, yeah.
I'm not saying that people who have money aren't going to do it anyway. People who don't have the disposable income who love Pokemon are still going to do it. But they can't say we're doing this because otherwise people will be expected to pay full price for another game of the same game. But if they want the full quote unquote experience, they're going to have to pay full price Pokemon prices anyway.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but to me, it just speaks to the larger issue of still having two versions of the same game, which to me is like the fundamental issue.
This is true. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX is a better way to go.
But, like, I think I agree with Nikki in the sense that I think the DLC is probably the better route than the third version. I just think it's funny that after all the controversy behind Sword and Shield, that now they're adding unpaid DLC on top of it. But, yeah, whatever. Well, I don't think it's that bad.
When they announced that Pokemon were going to be missing from Sword and Shield, of course people knew that they were going to add them in as paid DLC.
But we knew extra content was coming later down the line in some form.
I mean, when Breath of the Wild was announced as having an expansion pass, I knew that Pokemon would get an expansion pass of its own.
Yeah, I'm surprised Mario Odyssey didn't get one.
No, it had free content, didn't it? But from Nintendo onto something a bit more fiery, KO the Kangaroo Round 2, a game that's available on Steam. And it's a re-release of the PlayStation 2 Xbox GameCube game. If you buy it on Steam for £1.69 / $1.99, very fair price, all of the proceeds are going towards the Australian bushfire relief effort called #KO for Australia. The campaign pledges to donate all profits from the game sales to WIRES, the New South Wales Wildlife Information Rescue and Education Service, Inc. That's only running from the 9th until the 19th. you've still got time if you're listening to this before Sunday. And it's obviously a very good cause. It's not much money, but you're getting a remake of a 3D adventure game. So
can I, like, I don't mean to be like a downer on this whole situation, but Australia's been on fire for a couple of months now. Why only now are people doing this? Like, it's fantastic. I'm not trying to like take away from the fact that they're helping raise money to help out something that desperately needs it, but I'm just kind of a bit like, why is this all happening like 3 months after it started, kind of thing, you know?
Right. I think it's, from my knowledge of it, that it's just reached like a point of being so large that it's just grown way more awareness recently. That's it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just reached that point, but I digress. This is cool. I like that they're doing it. And it's, I actually remember this game, like, holy crap.
It is cool. And I think it's worth mentioning that even if you don't want to buy the game for whatever reason, there's like way more of ways to donate as well if you want to donate to Australia.
There was a porn star saying if you donate $10 and send me proof, then I'll send you a nude. And she raised like $10,000.
Still?
No, $100,000, I think.
No, it's even more. She ended up, until her account got taken down, because, you know, someone trying to do something good gets her account taken down. Nice one, internet. She actually, believe it or not, raised more money doing that than the freaking CEO of Amazon donated.
Yes, that's right. Like, it was 500,000, wasn't it? And he donated 4,600. So
yeah,
460,000.
He basically donated what was the equivalent of 3 minutes of his time, because of how much money he earns. He, like, the amount he donated was how much he earned in 3 minutes. Madness.
Speaking of madness, it's been revealed that the Xbox Series X's first party titles will run on Xbox One, apparently. According to a recent interview with Matt Booty, the head of Microsoft Studios, he said that as our content comes out over the next year, 2 years, all of our games, sort of like PC, will play up and down that family of devices. This could intriguingly mean that Xbox Series X games will still be playable on the Xbox One, or at least the One X, the more powerful of the family, or it, in my opinion, it could just mean that they're going to keep releasing Xbox One games as well as a version for the Xbox Series X.
Yeah, I mean, we already sort of, we didn't know to what extent, but we already knew this was kind of happening with Halo Infinite launching on Xbox One, Series X, whatever it's called, and it's also going to be playable on Xbox One, so yeah, I think you're right.
Well, it made me laugh a little bit because people were very surprised by this news, which is a little bit like, oh, okay. But if you cast your minds back not too long ago when the PS4 and the Xbox One first came out, we did get, like, Battlefield 4, I think, was a really good example. There was literally no difference between the PS4 and the PS3 version, bar load times and server capacity. And it was literally, like, the first year of the PS4, games that were releasing on PS4 and PS3 were nigh on identical. And then when we got to like the second year, we started to get the exclusives, and it, the console then grew. So I'm not surprised, but it's interesting that they mentioned about 2 years, because to me that seems longer than is necessary. But what do we know? And considering as well, Microsoft are going for this whole like unified ecosystem thing in their games anywhere, I guess it does make a bit of sense. But I also wonder how that is going to limit developers having to bear in mind that they need to have a version running on the Xbox One, but not the new Xbox, which it's fucking, what is it called? What is it called, Microsoft?
It is called Xbox.
Ah!
So they said it was specifically first-party games, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, that makes sense, and I think they could work around it with first parties. And yeah, about 2 years, it's not too crazy to me. I mean, I do think maybe 2 years pushing it a little bit, but I could definitely see at least a year where this is the case.
Well, Breath of the Wild was released on the Wii U and the Switch. For The Last of Us was released on PS3 and then slightly remastered for the PS4. GTA 5, on the PS3 and Xbox 360. And then a couple of years, Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It's not unheard of. I'm not entirely sure what to make of this news, but people have their theories.
No, and the generational jumps now aren't nearly as big as they used to be. So it's not crazy to think that there could be a version at a slightly lower resolution with a slightly lower frame rate, you know?
A version without ray tracing?
Yeah, there you go. That'd be it.
Well, fun fact, when we moved from like the PS3 and Xbox 360 to the PS4 and Xbox One, they made a big deal about the graphics and consumers loved it. From like a developer point of view, I remember someone many years ago telling me that like, in actual fact, we'd basically just gone up like one shader version. Meanwhile, PC was like a couple more ahead. And it was just really funny because like this person was just there like, yeah, it's really not that much of a difference. But, you know.
If you could like compare Assassin's Creed Black Flag on the 360 to Xbox One, there was like barely any difference.
There is a difference in power because if you you compare the graphics of Dauntless on the Switch to Dauntless on anything else, the Switch looks awful, really awful. But it's still, you're still playing with everyone else. It's quite an achievement in its own. It doesn't need to look pretty. Speaking of not pretty things, Awesome Games Done Quick has concluded with over $3 million raised for charity. Over 7 days, 141 games were streamed, from retro to modern, niche to mainstream, AAA to indie. And let's see, it was $3,132,902.78 were raised for Prevent Cancer Foundation. There were over 35,000 unique donors. Yes, it's quite a big amount. They've also confirmed the dates for Summer Games Done Quick, 21st to 28th of June, and Awesome Games Done Quick will come again 3rd to the 10th of January. It was also marred a bit by one of the streamers. Very soon after they started, people went to their Twitter and found them to be a less than ideal candidate for someone playing games, but that doesn't take away from the achievement of $3 million raised for charity.
I think it's worth noting that like Awesome Games Done Quick, Summer Games Done Quick, just GDQ in general, like they do a fantastic job. You know, everyone involved does a really, really good job in raising absolutely tons of money and putting on a great show, and you know, just it's great. But there's three things about any GDQ event that it's guaranteed to happen and always happens and keeps happening. One is there's always runners that say like, oh, this game's badly made. No, shut up. You don't get to say that because, you know, collectively spending thousands of hours trying to break a game. It's yeah. Okay. There's always a little bit of controversy, and then there's just always a terrible, terrible, terrible choice. And like there was one, I think last year there was one where someone said something that was a little bit like, a little bit insensitive. But yeah, this particular runner, if it's the same one I'm thinking of, Ace, is, wasn't the most pleasant of choices and was very publicly quite far right and in their sort of stance. And it's, you might be wondering, why is that an issue? Well, the issue is that GDQ is always pitched as being a very open and sort of very safe community for people to come together. The reality is that the speedrunning community is full of some generally quite horrible people. And it's just a shame that they can't seem to have a decent vetting process, because there are people that have been banned from GDQ for literally no reason, meanwhile there's people that have said racist stuff on stream and they've not been banned. And it's the same thing you find on just like Twitch in general. And it's really frustrating, because it's like, if GDQ could like just iron out these little bugs and get, you know, generally nice people to stream and do the runs, it would just make the event so much more nicer and a lot more inclusive, and would help to sort of raise the status of it. But unfortunately, every year there is always some form of controversy. But again, that's not taking away from the fact that they raised over $3 million for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. It's just frustrating that we have to say this every year. It's like, oh yeah, someone did something stupid on stream. I think last Summer Games Done Quick, someone threatened to punch someone. That was awkward.
It makes for great compilation clips at the end of it all.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to deny that.
But yeah, it's a cool event overall. Obviously, like I said, it's unfortunate that some people can't behave themselves, but unfortunately, I feel like that's going to be the case with a lot of events with live streams. You know, there's always, you never know how someone's going to react until they're actually live streaming in the middle of it. So it's a shame when it happens, but yeah, still a cool event.
No Nazi salutes, at least. Speaking of Europeans, Grand Theft Auto 4 has been removed from sale from Steam. The game came out in 2008. It's already had a brush against being removed when some of the music licenses were lost due to time, and they updated the radio. There's been hearsay. There's been, as it was written, there was no statement from Rockstar. But I did read somewhere that they had come out and said that the reason for the removal was because of Games for Windows Live, a ye olde fashioned Steam replacement. It's basically a fancy DRM. You had to sign into your account, your Microsoft account, to gain access to the game that you bought. So, having to sign into Rockstar to sign into your Games for Windows Live when you've already signed into Steam has been an ongoing issue, because Rockstar, I wrote about for Game Grin 3 years ago about it being an issue, because I was trying to get GTA 4 to work on my wife's PC and having no end of issues. Shouldn't need to download a third-party app to make your goddamn game work, Rockstar. Yes, so it might be that. It might be due to licensing. It's still, the Steam page is still available. You just can't buy it. I also looked on the Rockstar Games website, and there was no way to buy it on PC. However, if you want to buy it digitally on PS3, you still can. I didn't get around to checking if it's still available on Xbox 360 to purchase. Also, Episodes for Liberty City is still available, but that came out 2 years after the GTA 4, so if it is licensing, then it may not have been affected.
It doesn't surprise me that this is probably caused by Games Windows Live, but I love that it's become as such a big issue, because it's just like, meh, it's how many years old now? Like, everyone who has it. But again, you know, games getting removed from stores are not good, because archiving and all that kind of thing, I'm a big advocate of that. So hopefully they can find a way to sort of reverse engineer it and, I guess, find a way to get it back on Steam. It surprises me, because they have Max Payne 3 uses its own, like, the Rockstar Social Club, so maybe they'll just try and integrate that and relaunch it.
It was already integrated.
Well, shit.
Yeah, you needed to log into your Steam account, launch the game, log into your Rockstar Social Club, and then log into your goddamn Games for Windows goddamn Live. Yeah, didn't like that.
I'm wondering, like, because Rockstar have their own launch, don't they?
They do.
Oh, I'm wondering what the chances of them just reselling it on there.
They're probably high, but I don't see why they'd remove it from Steam instead of just adding it to their own launcher anyway. So I read some scuttlebutt on Twitter hoping for, oh, maybe they're remastering it. Well, Rockstar haven't remastered any of their other games, so that's the least likely option in my eyes.
Yeah, it's annoying, because like this kind of thing happens just because of the nature of digital marketplaces, but yeah, I doubt they're going to make a remaster of it.
But from one game you can't buy to another game you can't buy yet, Final Fantasy VII has been delayed, much to, I don't know, people's surprise. It was supposed to come out in March, and it's been moved back to April, in between Resident Evil 3 and Cyberpunk 2077. So,
that's a great idea.
I personally, I doubt CD Projekt Red are worried, because The Witcher 3, massive success. The Witcher Netflix show, massive success. It's coming after two remasters are released, so...
So this news came about with two Square Enix delayed the 7 remake, and they also delayed the Avengers game, and I'm not really fussed about that. The 7 remake is a bit of a weird one, though, because, yeah, they delayed it, which makes sense, because for those who don't know, there was a massive leak of the 7 remake recently. I'm not usually one to look into leaks because it sucks. It really does suck for developers when their game leaks for whatever reason. But I decided to have a look because I've played 7. I know what's going on and I'm really fucking curious. So I was like, I'm going to just have a look. Just have a look at these screenshots. Yeah, there's like 1,200 photos that have been released. And needless to say, the leak, if true, because obviously leaks are always speculation, you never know. If the leak is to be believed, which honestly, it looks like it is, judging by what we're actually seeing, the whole game leaked. Like, the whole game. Not just the demo, which has been uploaded and some people have been able to get it, and Square Enix have been dealing with copyright strikes. The whole game has leaked.
Sorry, I just got to visit a forum that I know. unrelated.
So, for context, it's unfinished screenshots, but there's enough information. Like, within 20 minutes of me having a look for stuff, I was able to piece together with the information that was available, potentially, and again, air quotes, potentially, what the entire plot and key beats of the 7 remake is. I'm not going to say any of it because, obviously, I don't want to, you know, there are people that are actively trying to avoid spoilers. I don't necessarily mind because we already know that part 1 is only set in Midgar, and I was just curious what's going on. Couple of surprises generally, but again, it might not be the case. But from a developer point of view, to have your entire game leaked is soul crushing. So I can only imagine how the team is feeling right now. What I find really weird though is the delay is like a month, which makes me wonder what they're going to be doing, because you can't, like, they can't obviously change the whole game drastically in a month, but they must be needing to do something. So who knows what it is. Maybe it's just additional polish or they want to add a few extras. But that the new release date, as you've said, Ace, is really weird. Like, I think Cyberpunk's going to be fine. Not so sure about the 7 remake. And obviously, you know, because two big major games, you've literally got 6 days to finish the 7 remake. And it's a 40-hour game. People will do it, obviously. But I don't know. But the main takeaway from it being delayed is I think it's to do with the leak. But my main takeaway from the leak is I just want to know what they're going to do for the next one. Because honestly, interesting, if again true. As for Avengers, I have no interest. It generally doesn't look like my kind of game. So
I had not heard that Avengers was also delayed.
They announced it at the same time. Avengers has been delayed to November.
Yeah, the Avengers thing was really weird. Like, it was, I didn't realize either until I just saw it on like some forums and people were like, oh yeah, Avengers got delayed too. And I was like, oh right, okay. I like how you kind of brushed that under the rug.
They didn't even mention it in the press email that they sent saying that Final Fantasy VII Remake had been delayed.
Yeah, I think they know which one people are anticipating more. But to me, this delay just speaks to the troubled development of the game. Like, there is no way in hell they thought we're going to make part one of this remake and it's going to take 5 years. There's no way they thought this alone was going to take 5 years. And even after that amount of time, they can't hit the date they set originally. So,
all right. So I have a counter argument for that, but I am officially putting up spoiler warning for like the next 2 minutes.
Okay.
As long as you two don't mind me spoiling stuff from the leak.
I've played 7, I've seen most of the leak, so.
I tune you out so,
cool.
So much.
Listeners, 2 minutes, spoiler warning, bear with me. So two things. The first thing is that apparently, this is all speculation, apparently the 7 remake, when it was originally announced, got rebooted. So you are correct in like the amount of time they're spending.
Yeah, it was CyberConnect 2 who were originally developing it, wasn't it? And then they got dropped off the project.
Yeah, so they it's been in development for a lot shorter than we thought initially, just like the version we've got. The second thing is, and this is why I looked into the leak, is because it is just Midgar, but the stuff they've done is a bit like, oh, okay. Like, it seems like to be honest with you, it looks like there's just a lot of dumb filler.
But they're adding a lot of the compilation stuff into it, aren't they? From what I've seen anyway, or what I can tell.
No.
I'd just like to say for someone who just said dumb filler, you were extolling the virtues of ice cream cones in Astral Chain to me months ago. So
at least that's awesome. Touché.
Well, okay, so like they're changing things around to hopefully bring in the rest of the story. Yeah, they have completely changed the whole of Midgar. The ending sequence where you're escaping from Shinra attack, again, if this is to be believed, but from what I've seen, possibly it is, like, yeah, it's they've changed so much. Like, all the key moments have changed, and this is why, to be honest with you, just get this one out, just get it out, because I want to see what they're going to do with part two. Like, I'm more interested for the second part than I am actually for this first part. And I really hope that this game does well, and I really hope that, like, the team are proud of what they've put out, but, you know, regardless of all the awkward judgments and leaks, like, I do hope that the game ends up being good and people enjoy it, because, like,
yeah, same.
You know, but yeah, so for the 2 minutes that have just ended, if you're back, don't worry, no more spoilers, but, like, I didn't really say much anyway, actually. But yeah, there's just go look at the leak. Like, literally, it's at the top of the freaking Reddit. Like, just go to the 7 Remake Reddit. There's an entire thread at the very top that is just full of content. Like, it's that easy. If you want to look at anything, just go there. I normally wouldn't advocate it, but just it's right there.
Another option for the delay might be if they have a set release schedule that they want to stick to, like every 4 months, every 6 months, whatever it is. Perhaps the only way they can stick to that is by delaying the release of the initial episode.
These parts can be years apart from each other.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's no way that I mean, because I only say that because they're selling this one as a full price game, unless they want to, like, add the other parts as, I don't know, like £10 or something, additional add-ons, but I don't see that happening. So I'm just kind of nervous about this game, honestly. I hope it's good, like Nick said. I really hope it's good, but we'll see. It's only a few months to go, so.
I did put down a main topic that I forgot to add into the topics. What did you buy in the sales? It's a bit out of date, though. I wanted to talk about it last week because, you know, sales had just ended, but we had a guest, so that filled most of our time.
I literally only bought Max Payne 3.
I don't think I bought anything.
I was tempted by lots of stuff, but, like, I have so much to play as it is that I just thought, fuck it, I'll just save the money.
I got a Nintendo eShop voucher for my birthday and was saving it for the inevitable Switch sales. And it was everything except for Nintendo's first-party games. It's like, I don't want to spend all of this on one game plus more money because Nintendo have decided to not discount their titles at all.
I bought a load in the sale. I can't even remember everything I bought. I bought quite a few Switch games. I know that. I stocked up. I did a Christmas stock up and just filled my belly with games that were cheap. Because there was quite a lot of stuff that I had on my... You know, you can have the wish list on the Switch, and there was, like, quite a bit of stuff that was, like, third off or half off or whatever, so I stocked up some of that. And I got Dragon Ball FighterZ as well, just because that was on sale and I wanted it for a while. Oh, and
good looking.
Got a few months of Game Pass Ultimate as well for really cheap. So, yeah, I did well.
I keep getting cheap Game Passes, like 3 months here, 6 months.
Yeah,
I'm subscribed to Game Pass until the middle of next year.
It's so good though; you can't say no.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's we've been through this on the podcast a couple of times. It's worth the money.
Yeah, there's
so many games, so much choice.
Indie games I've played have already paid for it, so.
Right, and on that, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki and friend Jeff. If you want to follow them on Twitter, they are @error_Nikki and @FranJeff. And you can find myself on @AceLister. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether it's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, our RSS feed, the 30 other websites that randomly aggregate us, because I've Googled the podcast. I've seen we're all over the place. You can leave a review on iTunes. You can follow us on Spotify, or you can post a cheeky comment on GameGrin.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.